Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Of course, most law enforcement violence occurs outside of public view, beyond scrutiny or accountability. Often, the only witnesses to police misconduct are the victims of it, and, of course, the other cops on the scene. But history shows that rarely, very rarely, do cops inform on one another, partly because of the omerta-like code, known as the Blue Wall of Silence, and partly out of fear of retaliation from their colleagues. Which is why, says Tom Devine of the Government Accountability Project, police reforms are all but useless without protection for those courageous and honorable enough to blow the whistle. He explains that some good legislation has already been proposed.
There's more liability, there's controls for accurate records, there's controls on transfer of military equipment, more restrictions on no-knock warrants. So there's solid legislation, at least in the House of Representatives. The Senate so far is the Republicans there proposed more baby steps.
Many civil rights advocates have criticized the proposals as insufficient because the sanctions are too weak. But from your perspective, the efficacy of the reforms themselves is almost beside the point because even the harshest penalties for, say, chokeholds will prove nearly impossible to enforce.
Absolutely. Murder and brutality by the police have always been crimes. The Achilles heel has been enforcement. And our challenge isn't to outlaw police brutality, it's to prove it. And you just can't always depend on a smartphone. We're going to have to rely on honest cops who can testify truthfully without fear. Otherwise, those rights on paper and controls are going to be like a mirage.
Now, all whistleblowers are at risk of ostracism, active or passive on-the-job retaliation. But you think cops have it the worst. Why?
Well, I think it's because the law enforcement world, the state and local police forces, they're the only major sector of our society that doesn't have independent whistleblower protection for people who want to challenge abuses of power. And the consequences of it are very, very severe. Police officers who challenge the blue wall of silence certainly engage in professional suicide, but they risk losing their lives, too. They're abandoned during stakeouts or shootouts. That's the facts of life for a lot of honest cops. And in fact, it's funny that the police officers who have blown the whistle, they call it committing the truth because they're the ones who are treated like they committed a crime.
What does need to happen before cops can feel safe to come forward?
Well, I think the first thing is they have to have some legal rights. But you know, getting legal rights is just the first step in a long process towards change. And these are deeply ingrained traditions of police brutality. So we're also going to need solidarity from the public. We're hoping a Government Accountability Project where I work, that the campaign to get legal rights will help to develop that solidarity. You know, I won't say it's just a few bad apples, but there's a significant majority of law enforcement officers, in my experience, who did this because they wanted to protect the public, not because they wanted to protect brutal cops. We're hoping that in the process of getting rights for law enforcement officers, we'll develop that solidarity so they can actually start defending the public instead of being afraid to.
But the very revolution that has given us occasion to have this conversation and is the reason for the legislation in Congress suggests that solidarity is going to be pretty hard to come by. If you're an activist demanding for police agencies to be dismantled, protecting the good apples is kind of weak tea, isn't it? I mean, is your advocacy even resonating with the Black Lives Matter movement?
I'm not sure too many of the activists have been advocating anarchy. They're defunding calls or to take away responsibilities from the police that they have no business working on in the first place, and to reduce excess funding and funding that's unnecessary, such as military equipment and that sort of thing. You know, what we need is both. We need to have better controls on the police, and the law enforcement whistleblowers are all going to be supportive of that. Too many police forces have become bureaucracies, institutions whose primary purpose is their own self-interest instead of their stated mission. And the whistleblowers are the ones who are trying to keep them honest, get their feet to the fire, and who actually are trying to live the mission of protecting the public.
I want to ask you one more question. The protection that you envision begins with legislation that includes explicit protection for police whistleblowers against professional retaliation or worse. But I want to come back to the blue ball of silence, because it is so deeply embedded in police culture and police union culture. Do you really believe that no matter what the law provides, that this big, not very beautiful wall can ever be torn down?
Well, it's a big challenge, but I've seen a lot of cultural revolutions in the last four decades working with whistleblowers. When I first started in 1979, whistleblowers were all viewed as either nuts or traitors. Occasionally, profiles encouraged. That was the rare exception. Now, whistleblowers are on a pedestal of public support. We passed the last 16 whistleblower laws unanimously because no politician dares to vote against whistleblowers. I think that most people do enter the law enforcement profession not so they can beat somebody up or not so that they can be corrupt. They get corrupted by a corrupt environment. We can have a cultural revolution within the police forces. I think the blue wall of silence is more enforced by fear and peer pressure than it is by what's really in the hearts and souls of most police officers who enlist in the service.
Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Devine is the legal director of the Government Accountability Project. The most famous cop whistleblower is Frank Serpico, who in the late 60s reported widespread corruption and brutality in the New York City Police Department. His complaints led to a New York Times expose, an official commission exploring police corruption, and in 1973, the Al Pacino movie, Serpico.
Frank, we wash our own laundry around here.
Oh, yeah?
Now, you could be brought up in charges for this.
I always thought so, but the reality is that we do not wash our own
trouble,
laundry.
Serpico.
It just gets dirty.
You are in trouble.
I don't care if I'm in trouble. I don't care who gets it anymore, including myself.
When Serpico was shot in the face during a 1971 drug operation, his fellow officers refused to summon help, and they left him for dead. But he lived, and so does his half-century-long struggle for accountability. All right, I called you a whistleblower, but I know you hate that term. Why?
To me, the exposing is a very noble act, and the word whistleblowing does not fit that deed. You know, they called me a rat, a cheese eater, that I exposed my buddies. They weren't my buddies. These guys were criminals wearing a police uniform. I didn't rat on them. I exposed their criminal activity. So I prefer the term lamplighter because as a police officer, when I would go into a darkened tenement and turn on the light, the roaches would scurry for the woodwork. And these crooked politicians are nothing more than roaches that scurry for the woodwork when you expose them. But unfortunately, they are becoming more defiant because they have not been brought to justice.
Tell me about the blue wall of silence. 49 years after you were left bleeding from a gunshot wound, does the blue wall still exist?
Oh, absolutely. In my opinion, as strong as the mafia's omerta. People think, oh, that's the mayor, that's the police commissioner. They have your best interests at heart. And as we can see, that is absolutely not the case. They are self-serving people with huge egos that don't care about morality or justice. You know, they put value on the dollar rather than on human lives.
Now, you and the Government Accountability Project's Tom Devine just co-authored a piece in The Hill about whistleblower protection. And Tom is pretty optimistic about the prospects. Are you as optimistic as he is that police will be held in check by changing laws and changing police culture?
Well, unfortunately, having been an observer for over 50 years, I can't say I'm that exuberant. starting with the Whistleblower Protection Act is a good step. But again, will it be enforced? So this all remains to be seen. It's the society. We can't just, you know, be pointing to the cops all the time. The cops are us. You know, we talk about Black Lives Matter. So they know what it's all about. It's been going on for not only 50 years, but hundreds of years. You'd think they would say, hey, you know, maybe we should look into this. Maybe the people have something. No, they have to come up with Blue Lives Matter. And they're like kids throwing a tantrum. Rather than doing some soul searching, they would rather dig in their heels and defy the people that are seeking justice.
Are we ever going to get the justice that we deserve?
You know, this is the 21st century. We're still operating on old draconian thug squad principles about how many people you can lock up instead of how many people can you keep out of jail. As many cops have complained to me, and I quote, I'm nothing more than a tax collector with a gun. A good start would be in having a new police code of ethics, you know, somewhat along the lines of the Hippocratic Oath of Physicians. And being a good cop doesn't mean being a thug that goes around breaking heads, as they like to say. It doesn't keep you any less safe to be a good cop. In fact, it'll keep you safer because people will respect the way you respect them.
Frank, I want to thank you very much.
Well, I want to thank you for this opportunity to give my views.
Frank Serpico is a former New York City police detective and, for the last 50 years, a lamplighter.
Coming up, we move from criminal justice on the ground level to one of the highest arbiters of justice in the land.